tonight with the reading of the precious Word of God, okay? Amen. Standing, we'll read God's Word together tonight. Amen. Nothing like this old book. And I'm talking about the King James book. I don't reckon I want to clip that on up there. I can't get much volume out of that, can I, Brother Robert? A glass case. I don't think I can get too much volume out of that, so I better find something else here to put up there. And Lou, we got her now, amen. You know, I'm glad I'm here tonight. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm going to preach. I believe it. I'm convinced this is what God's laid on my heart for tonight. I have preached this message years and years ago. But I've been thinking lately about worship and about where we are with the Lord in relationship to our worship of Him. That He said in His Word that He seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And all that are saved have a responsibility to adore and to praise their God or our God. And I'm afraid it's one of the commandments in the Bible that probably we have failed in more than any other place in the Word of God. I used to think that we'd failed more in prayer, but I'm inclined to believe now that we failed more in worship than in anything else. And so I want to try to preach on that tonight. I've been thinking about it for some time, and I think that we need to get to a place of worship. I don't know that we ever have. I know we've been in places where we praise the Lord, and that is a portion of worship, but that's not worship in its entirety. And I don't want to stop praising Him, for that is, like I said, a part of worship. But at the same time, I want to really get connected up with heaven, with the Lord, where my heart will break, and not just bend, but will break and bow to His holy will for my life. And I'm sure that you want to do the same thing. I want to ask you to turn in your Bible tonight to the Song of Solomon. Amen. The Song of Solomon in chapter number 1. When I preach through this, I read the whole chapters. I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to read the one verse. I'll read three verses and bring the message that I want to try to bring to you tonight. Song of Solomon in chapter number 1 and verse 10. This is the Lord speaking to His bride. And He said, "Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver." Now in verse 12, the bride speaks. She said, "We will make thee," she said, "while the king said it, at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof." Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight that we can pray and call upon the God of all comfort. I want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege. It's ours tonight to pray for Brother Brown, for Miss Helen, the family. Pray for Lisa. I ask you to take mercy on these that are sick. But especially, Lord, Brother Brown, who is so near to crossing that line. And I know, Lord, that You're holding His hand even now. And I pray for great comfort to his family and for the will of God to be done in his life. He's been a great warrior of the faith. He stood for the truth and the right, preached the gospel, studied the book like he's supposed to do. And, Lord, if You were to take him on home, he'll be greatly missed and sadly missed by many. I pray for their sorrow. I ask You to give comfort in its place. And I ask You to bless us here tonight. May Thy word tonight, Lord, bless our hearts and stir us up that we might set our heart aflame and our mind set to be stayed upon the Lord and come to the conclusion, Lord, that we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. May sinners be saved now and God's people find help. I pray, Lord, that You'll unctionize me tonight with grace and glory and great liberty and make me a blessing to the people of God. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. All right, verse number 12 is where I'm going to be preaching from tonight. And it's where the bride makes this statement. She said, "While the king sitteth at his table," now notice this, "my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof." My spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. And I want to preach tonight. Like I said, I've preached this before. I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm not ashamed to preach it again. Because I think we're in a great need in this hour of worshiping the Lord. And I do think that the more that we set our hearts upon Him to adore and worship Him, the greater liberty we're going to have in the house of God, the more we're going to see done for our families, and the more we'll get accomplished through the church in reaching sinners for Christ and being a blessing in the community that we're in. And so I want to preach on that thought tonight, if the Lord will help me, odors of worship. Now, if you noticed in the two preceding verses, the Lord has commended His bride, His beautiful bride, may I say, and has promised her great grace and has bestowed upon her transcendent glory. In other words, He talks about rows of jewels upon her cheeks and chains about her neck. And then He speaks about borders of gold with studs of silver. And what He is saying is, He's saying that I have bestowed upon you great grace and great glory. Amen. And I wonder how many people of God's church today really believe that. Psalm 84:11 has been one of my verses of life verses, lifelong verses, ever since I went to Bible college a long time ago. And the psalmist said, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." And I really wonder how much grace that we have received from the hand of the Lord tonight. And how much of His wonderful glory are we really given in, living in? It's not a matter of whether we have that glory according to these verses. That grace and that glory has already been bestowed upon us. And all we simply have to do is put that grace and that glory into exercise in our own personal life. And so, therefore, in this verse that I read, and the bride declares what advantages she has received of Him, and how lovely is His person, and how delightful is His company to her. In other words, the Lord, or the bride, is delighted in the company of her groom. You know, I don't know any bride tonight that is not joyful and jubilant when she's in the presence of her groom or her bridegroom. And I don't know any groom tonight that is not joyful and happy when he's in the presence of his bride. You know, that is the way it ought to be. A bride and bridegroom are happy together. That's right. And there ought to be joy in each of our lives when we come together with one another. We're married as Jesus is married to us. There was great delight in His company of being together with her. And, you know, I think that you and I ought to be the same way. That we ought to have a desire to be in the company and the presence of the Lord. I've said so many times, I want to say it again tonight, I am a real stickler. That's a hobby horse of mine, is having the presence of the Lord. Why would we as God's children, being saved by God's grace and have been adorned by all the glory of God, why would we settle for anything less than to have Him in our presence? Why won't our hearts reach out to Him for His presence in our life and in our services, in our homes and our families? I think we all ought to have a great desire, a burning desire, to be in the presence of God and to have His blessings upon our life. Now, notice her response to His promise mentioned in verses 10 and 11. Notice her response. She said, "My spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof." That is, her grace is in exercise. What do you mean by that, Brother Hall? I mean simply the Lord has bestowed upon her grace and great glory. And the grace that He has bestowed upon her is in exercise within her. In other words, Christ reached out to her, and now she is reaching out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say that's the way it works in salvation, and that's the way it works in our intimate life with the Lord. Christ first reached out to you and I. I don't know any man whose heart was set on God to find Him. I don't know any man whose will was set on God to find Him. Our will is depraved, or was depraved, just exactly like our soul was depraved. Our mind was depraved also. That's exactly right. And our will was depraved. And I don't know anybody that had a real will and a real heart to reach out to the Lord. But aren't you glad that when we could not get to where He was, that He came to where we were? That's right. We could not get to God, and so God came to where we were. And I'm going to tell you something. It's the same way in our intimate life with Him. He takes the initiative. He is going to reach out to us. He is going to extend that hand. He wants to be with us and to love us and to show us that love and to show us His mercy more than you and I will ever realize that He does. But I'm telling you that He does. That's right. And so her spikenard has sendeth forth the smell thereof. That means that her grace is in exercise. What has been bestowed upon her, she is giving back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that her soul is in exercise. Her soul is breathing with earnest desire to be with Him. I wonder if we could say that tonight. Well, I don't know about you, but when I first got married, and it's that way now. When I first got married, Miss Hall, after a while, became conceived child, and she moved back to Indiana, and I'm down in Kentucky. Well, I'm going to tell you, just being married, friend, I couldn't stay away. I wanted to drive home every night from Fort Knox all the way to Austin, Indiana. Yeah. And somebody said, well, that's bad. You ought to be that way when you first got married. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've been married a long time. Yeah. And went to Mexico. Brother Steve and I went all the way down into the state of Michoacan with Brother Bill Williams. And I called my wife every day on the telephone and could not wait to get home to her then. I wanted to be with her. Now, I'm telling you, Christ wants to be with you and I tonight. And you and I ought to have a desire to be with Him. Somebody say amen right there. That's exactly right. And we ought to have an earnest desire within our heart to be with the Lord, to long for His present fellowship and personal appearance. When was the last time Jesus really manifest Himself in this place? I'm not talking about having a little liberty to preach. I'm not talking about having a little liberty to sing. I'm talking about when Jesus passes by our way. Amen. And His presence is manifest in the house of God. When was the last time you can remember that really happened? Amen. And I long for His present fellowship. And I long for His personal appearance. I want to say like John, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to see Him. I want to look upon the face of He that saved me by His marvelous grace. Don't you want to see Jesus? Buddy, I want to see the living Son of God. Amen. I want to see the one that loved me and died for me. And I have no problem recognizing Him either, friend. Somebody said, how do you know? I'm going to tell you why. For the Bible said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me, and another they will not follow. And all He'll have to say is, come up hither, and there'll be no doubt in our mind that that is the Lord calling us. Somebody said, how will you know Him? By the prints of the nails in His hand. Where the sword was pierced through His heart. By His brow that was pierced by the thorns, His feet that was nailed to the cross. Oh, they'll be just as fresh. And by the way, they're not scars.
Amen. Right.
I know, walked into a place out in Arizona. It wasn't a church. They tried to take over and act like a church, but it wasn't a church. And they had on the wall, it was back when that movie came out, Jesus Christ, Superstar. They had on the wall, said He's not Jesus Christ, Superstar. He's Jesus Christ, Super Scar. Well, I want to put notice on them and you too, that when he comes back, there'll be no scars in his hand. There'll be no scars in his feet, ladies and gentlemen. He told Doubting Thomas, said, put your fingers in the print of the nails. You can't put your finger in a scar. If you can sure put your finger in the print of a nail, he said, thrust your fist into my side. You can't put your fist in a scar, but you can put it in a hole in the side. And I'm telling you, it'll be there when he comes back to this earth. It'll still be there. That's exactly right. And when he comes back, the Jews will ask him, where did you get those wounds in your hand and your feet? And he'll say, I received them in the house of my friends. Amen. What a great God. And I'm looking for his appearing. I don't know about you, but I want to see the Lord. Amen. My greatest aspirations are of him. And I want to see him. Now, I want us to look very quickly at his position. The Bible said, while the king sitteth at his table. I think this is well suited to Christ's exalted state. Surely we see here his kingly office and power, and they're clearly manifest to us. He is seated at his table. That is his kingly power and his authority. And the verse of Scripture said, my spikenard sendeth forth a smell thereof. When I read that, I thought about that Syrophoenician woman. That all she wanted was a crumb that fell from the master's table. Now come on, stay in the house with me. Now she's not going to get that crumb sitting at the table where he's at. If it's under the table, there's only one place she's going to get that crumb. And that is under that table. Am I right or am I wrong about that? And I believe when the smell of that spikenard ascended, when it ascended upward. And that spikenard is a type of worship. And while that Syrophoenician woman was under that table, she was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus and was worshiping him in spirit and in truth. That's exactly what the text means here tonight. That's exactly what it means. You better believe it does. Amen. I will. Somebody help me, Brother Jerome. Now, y'all listen carefully. The word spikenard is only mentioned 5 times in the Scriptures. It's mentioned 3 times in Solomon's Song. It's mentioned once in Mark 14:3, and also in John 12:3. And it's alluded to in Matthew and in Luke. And each time it is mentioned in the New Testament, it has reference to the anointing of Jesus by Mary of Bethany. Every time that it's mentioned in the New Testament, there is Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus and anointing him with spikenard, ladies and gentlemen. What is she doing there? She is sending up odors of worship to the Lord. God, help us tonight to find our humble place at the feet of Christ that we may worship him once again and adore him and praise him and bless him for what he's done for us in our life. God, help us tonight to get back to thinking about the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. Amen. Now, in each New Testament account, Mary's anointing of the Lord. Now get this now. Every time that Mary anointed the feet of the Lord, every time he sat at meat at a table. Every time. And with much humility and love, she adored and worshiped him, anointing him with spikenard. And the odor of that spikenard filled the entire house that they were in. And I'm sure it was an odor of a sweet smell unto the Lord. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying worship is an odor of a sweet smell unto God. Amen. God has called us and saved us that we might worship him through all time and eternity, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Now, I'll tell you, and I'll get to this in a minute, but I'm going to tell you why one reason we don't. We're not willing to pay the price in order to do it.
There's a price to pay, and we're not willing to pay that price to worship our God. I'll get to that in just a minute. But every time he is sitting at a table, and she is anointing his feet with that spikenard. Now, so true worship. Listen carefully. Three things. Now, get into the message real quick. True worship can only be produced by the gospel. That's the only way. We've got so many people today, like that stupid crowd up at Newburgh. They think they're going to worship God by anointing a bow and arrow. I'm going to tell you what, that's blasphemy against God. Amen. That's right. I'm not trying to be ugly. But friend, I'm telling you, somebody needs to cry out against the blasphemy that's going on in our churches in America today. May God have mercy to get by and realize that God is a jealous God. He said in the Bible, I will have no other gods before me. Not one, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the idea we can squeeze in things like bows and arrows and donkey rides and pony carts and all this and one thing and another in on Jesus. And I'm telling you, it ain't going to work. We can put our money and our possessions and our power and our prestige and all this and all that before God, but it ain't going to work. I said this a long time ago. Friend, I'm telling you, I would never play second fiddle to a woman. You hear what I'm saying? If my wife had wanted another man, when we started seeing each other, I'd said, go to it. I'm not playing second fiddle to nobody. And I'm telling you, Jesus ain't playing second fiddle to no God. It's either Christ or none at all, ladies and gentlemen. You choose this day whom you're going to serve. The Christ, hey, the Lord of glory or the gods on this side, on the other side of the flood. Whichever one of them you want, or the gods of this land. That's what Joshua said. He said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah to his wonderful name. Amen. And people are not going to worship God until they get saved. That's why people fall into this kind of stupidity. They're lost and undone. And they have, hey, they have, what's the word I'm looking for? They have, they've incorporated carnal things into their services in the name of God and go home thinking they've worshiped Him. Well, hey, when they're not even saved, much less worshiping Him. You've got, hey, through the gospel is the only way a man can say, can worship the Lord. The Bible said in Mark 14:9, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel, talking about Mary, wheresoever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Now, hey, and he said, when the gospel is preached, be a memorial unto her. So I'm telling you, true worship can only be produced by the gospel. Only what grace bestows can worship draw out. Worship cannot draw. Let me get this right. Worship can't draw something out of a person that has no grace within them. Amen. It's an impossibility. Amen. Oh no. It's only what grace bestows that worship can draw out. And I'm going to tell you why we're dead anymore. We ain't much grace. Amen. We ain't much grace. I'm telling you what. When God bestowed grace and glory upon her with those robes of jewels and those studs of silver and those chains about her neck, I'm telling you, her grace went into exercise and she began to worship the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's right. Now, in Mark chapter number 14 and verse 3, Spikenard is also very precious. Amen. Said, in being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. Amen. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. You realize that worship today is precious?
Amen.
It's a very, very, very precious thing.
Amen.
Now, I've told you all this before. I'm going to tell you again. I looked it up to make sure. I looked up that word worship. And I'm telling you, so help me. You can look it up yourself and you're strong. Go home and look it up. You don't have to take my word for it. But it means to couch down. To couch down as a dog couches down and licks on the back of his master's hand. Now, I'm going to tell you, there ain't much couching down around here. Hey, he's talking about kneeling. He's talking about getting down, a little humility. When was the last time we really got on an altar and, amen, and humbled ourselves and got on an altar before God and worshiped God? I don't want to get angry tonight, but I'm about to. I'm telling you, a lot of folks got the idea. All they got to do is run around the building 3 or 4 times, shout like a maniac, and they worship God. No. They may have grieved him. Are you listening to what I'm saying? She broke that box and poured it on his head. She gave the very best that she had back to him. Amen. Now I'm telling you, the very best that we have is what he's put in us. Amen. I have no good thing. Then this body there is no good thing, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. And I'm telling you, the only thing that's good in us is what Christ has put in us. And the only thing that he has put in us is grace can grow out of us. Amen to God. I'm going to tell you, that grace can draw, that grace, that worship can draw grace out of us and cause us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. I'll get it out. Try to get it straight here in just a minute. That's right. And I'm telling you, it's very precious. It certainly is. Worship is a precious thing. In John 12:3, Spikenard is said to be very costly. It took Mary, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. See, it was very costly. Wonder what worship, what did worship really cost? I want to start out by telling you what it cost Christ. It cost him his very life. It cost him his blood. Suffering and anger and pain and agony. He had to condescend from a heavenly and holy estate, take upon himself the form of a servant, and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm telling you, worship cost him something, ladies and gentlemen. He had to pay. He had to pay for our privilege to worship God. He paved the way. Oh, through that holy place. Into that holy of holies in the presence of God. Amen. Where sinners like you and I can catch down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And there worship him and pour out our heart in us and just tell him from the heart how much we really love him. Let me ask you, when was the last time you told him just how much you really love him? We get ready to pray and all we want to do is ask him for something. Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. When was the last time we just got down on our knees and told God how much we loved him? Somebody said, well, I might not love him that much. Well, just tell me how much you do love him. You won't be lying. And if you don't love him like you ought to, do like I do and say, Lord, I know I don't love you like I ought to, but I'd like to love you more. Amen. And if you help me, I will. And I've got news for you. You won't unless he helps.
Amen.
And you won't worship unless he helps.
Amen.
Come on now. Come on now. It cost him his life. Cost him suffering and agony, shame and disgrace. His death upon Calvary. What a bill to pay for our privilege of worshiping God. But what's it going to cost us? I'm going to tell you one thing. Some of us are going to have to lose a little bit of dignity. Some we've got so dignified in our generation, we're not to worship God anymore. Them old timers really didn't care, Brother Troy. They didn't care what people thought about them. As long as when they went home from the church house, they felt like that they had been in the presence of Almighty God. Problem with people today, we go home to the church house and we don't know whether we've been in His presence or not and really don't care.
Amen.
For the most part. But our old timers come to church to get in.
Amen.
They come to stay until He showed up. Amen.
Amen.
That they might worship Him. That's exactly right. And we're going to lose a little bit of our dignity. Why? I'm ashamed to, you know, I'm ashamed to say amen. If we're ashamed to say amen, how are we going to worship God? Have you ever read chapter 5 in the book of Revelation? The Bible said the 24 elders, which represents the saved of the old dispensation and the saved of the new, 12 in each, 12 tribes of Israel and 12 apostles of the Lamb, 24, perfect number, number of government. And it said they fell down. They fell down. Didn't say they sat in their chair and shut their eyes and worshiped God with their eyes shut. I've seen too many people, they think they're spiritual. They'll sit like this. They'll think they want you to think they're meditating on God. But I'm going to tell you what the book said. The book said the 24 elders fell down. They fell down at His feet. But we're going to have to lose a little bit of dignity before we do that. Amen. We're going to have to embarrass the flesh. This flesh is real strong.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't do that. I know when I went to Tabernacle, I told my wife, I said, if you think I'm going up there and act like that bunch of fools, you're nuts. But that wasn't long until I was a fool just like them.
Right.
And it don't bother me a bit, friend. Who was it in here said somebody take a lap for me? Oh, down there at that fellowship the other day. Fellow said, I wish one of you young men take a lap for me. And it went through my mind. I thought, I'm not very young, but bless God, if I thought like me without my limbs going out from under me, I'd take it. It don't bother me. Oh, no. But I'm going to tell you, friend, it's been a long time since I've been in the presence of God.
Amen.
Where people's hearts are broken. And they're on the altar. And I'm telling you, we're not up shouting and we're not running the aisles and we're not shouting and hooping and hollering and climbing the wall, but we're on that altar with a broken heart and a contrite spirit in the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. Worshiping our Lord and adoring Him.
Amen.
It's just simply getting on an altar and telling God that you love Him, you want to adore Him, and thank Him. Hey, you can't have worship without thankfulness. You'll never worship without thanking God for what He's done. Son, I'm telling you, when I say anybody got a testimony, y'all ought to jump through the roof. I won't thank Him!
Thank Him! Amen.
Brother Douglas sings that song, I want to thank Him for what He's done.
Amen.
When was the last time you really thanked Him? I'm talking about just really thanked Him.
Amen.
Enter into His courts with thanksgiving.
Yes.
Is that what it says? Now I'm going to tell you, there'll be no worship without thanking Him. Being thankful in our heart. Now, I want you to notice this. Now, some of you will fall out with me right here. I know you will. But that's all right. But on each occasion that this spikenard is offered, it is offered by a woman. Not a man, but a woman. Somebody said, you mean men more than spiritual enough? Oh, no. Oh, that, I got to say this. Well, them guys down there. The other day, and I'm not criticizing Brother Law, but one of them guys down there the other day said, y'all talking, he said something about, said, this woman preacher. Said, I know some of y'all don't believe in women preachers. Said, if you'd hear her, you'd believe in them. But I don't see any men at Jesus' feet with that spikenard. It's always a woman. You know why it's always a woman? Because the church is called the bride of Christ. Woo! Amen. And the church is in the feminine gender. And what he's saying there is, it is the church. It's the bride of Christ that is to come into His presence and worship at His feet and adore Him for His goodness to us and deliver our souls from a Christless eternity. I'm so glad God rescued me, amen, when I couldn't get out of the horrible pit. Thank God He let down a shepherd's rod and very gently lifted me out, amen. Amen. That's right. I was out on the hills. Lost, He came to where I was and very gently laid me in His bosom and carried me back to the house. And there was rejoicing in heaven over that one little old lost sheep. Them folks in heaven, when I got saved, some of them said, look at their old hall got in. Look at their old boy. And they're just shouting, praise God. Jesus walked out there and said, fellas, it didn't shock me. It didn't take me by surprise. There He is. We got Him. And there's rejoicing in heaven. I remember my little old mom coming up to me and tears running plumb down her chin. She said, well, she said, what happened?
Amen.
I said, Mama, I got saved. She said, well, I'm going to ask you something. Said, the guilt gone? I said, yes, ma'am. Condemnation gone? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you might have got something. might. Amen. But on every occasion, it was a woman representing the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ that worshiped Him. I'm going to tell you something. Lost people won't worship Him. They can't. It's an impossibility. They can go through some motions and dry runs, but they can't worship God. That spikenard, she said, my spikenard, while the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. He just sat there. You think he don't enjoy? I want you to take me to one place in the Bible. I double dog, triple dog dare anyone in here to take me to one place in this book where Jesus ever denied worship of himself.
He never did.
Right. Only one place that I'm borderline, and that was when Mary came to him and he said, don't touch me yet. But he didn't tell her she couldn't kneel down at his feet. He just said, don't touch me. Didn't mean she didn't worship him. That's when he said, I've not yet ascended to my Father and to yours.
Amen.
Other than that, I know of no other place. And I'm satisfied she worshiped him there anyway. He don't turn down worship, folks.
Amen.
Not alone with someone or in big crowds. He never turned it down. He let that bunch of Jews know that he was God. Oh, yes, they didn't believe he was God. But only God could be worshipped. And I'm telling you, when he was worshipped, I'm telling you, that crowd wondered in their heart at who that man could be that would allow men to bow down and couch down and worship him. Oh, I'm going to tell you who he was. He was God in flesh. That's who he was. Yes, sir. God born of a, Jesus born of a virgin. That's right in this world. God wrapped in a robe of flesh. Hallelujah. Now, I've got three things I want to mention that are odors of worship for you and I, and I'll be done. I want to say, number one, the pantings of the soul. That's worshiping God. David said in Psalm 42:1, as a heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God.
Amen.
You know how a roe pants after the water brooks? I'm telling you right. Them hounds gets on their trail. They know the only hope they got is to get to that water. That's their only hope. And I'm telling you, the only hope we have in this generation is to get to God. And I'm wondering if there's any, if we're really panting after God as that little roe, that little heart panteth after the water brooks. I wonder if our soul is panting after God. Are we really hungry for Him? I want to ask something. Do we want Him or do we want what He produces and gives to us? I'm satisfied a lot of Baptists are more interested in what God can do for them and what they can do for God. And they're looking for the blessings without the blesser.
Amen.
I've tried to quote this a number of times in my preaching, but I failed. But I can read it to you tonight because it's in these notes. I'm going to tell you what Charles Spurgeon said. Charles Spurgeon said, like the priest penetrated the outer court to the presence of God in the holy place, David penetrated the shell and found the kernel. David got a hold of the kernel, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. He penetrated that holy, that court, that outer court, and got into the holy of holies where God was at. Come on now. Now I'm going to tell you, you'll never get there unless you've got some longings in your soul. Unless your heart is panting after God. You really want God tonight? Or are we satisfied with living where we're living? Somebody said, oh, I've got Him. He lives within me. Oh, I'm not talking about have you got Him living in you. I'm talking about have you got Him actively working in your life and accomplishing things for you and your family and answering the prayers that you're praying to God. When was the last time you really got a prayer answered in your life? Good question to ask, isn't it? When was the last time you jumped out of bed on Saturday morning and said, praise God, we get to go to church today? Most of us roll out of bed and say, oh, Lord, I have to go over there again this morning. Have to? David said he was glad when he said unto him, let's go in the house of the Lord. Happy as a lark to get to church. We ought to be happy to get to church. We ought to be glad when we get here.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, well, I just don't like sitting there that long. Well, you'll go home when we leave and sit in front of a television set half the night.
Three.
Amen. Say amen right there. You know I'm telling you to write. Some of you sit on a computer for 15 hours. Never get up. Not even use the bathroom. You can't sit in church for an hour and a half. Not having a problem about it. God help us. Besides that, Brother Hall preaches too long, and he preaches too loud, and he preaches too fast. Well, I'm just reading their minds. Sure can. Their faces tell it. What are you thinking? You're thinking Brother Hall and what he's talking about. Now listen carefully. Psalm 63:1, the Bible said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. May I say to you that thirst is an insatiable longing after that which is one of life's most essential supports, and that is water. Now I'm telling you by the only authority of this Bible and life itself that you can't live without water. You can't live without water. But yet David said, my heart thirsteth. My soul thirsteth for God. Thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Now I'm telling you what David is saying. God, I can't live without you. I want to come back. Can you live without him? If you can, you need to go home and stay there. I'm telling you, a saved child of God, been to Calvary, been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, living under grace, amen, cannot live without God. That is holy divine. I'm not talking about just knowing he's in our heart. I'm talking about him manifesting himself to us in the house of God that we might worship him. You can't live without it. It's like water. You can't make it long without it. I'm not going in that story about me in Vietnam. Y'all have heard enough. But I'm going to tell you, hey, have you ever tried to reason with thirst? Have you ever tried to say, okay, thirst, I'm not really thirsty. Now, you know you're just telling me a lie, thirst. I'm not really thirsty. I don't really want any water. You cannot reason with it. If you get thirsty, you are going to be thirsty until you get water. You know when we'll get God? When we get so thirsty that, hey, that we realize that our soul is parched and dried and we cannot live without the water of the Word of God in our heart and that living water, amen, from heaven itself, even the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We just realize we can't live without it. Man can't live without water. You can't reason with it. Have you ever tried? I laid over in that foxhole that night in Vietnam. I wanted a drop of water, then I wanted a thimbleful, then I wanted a cup full, then I wanted a bucket full, then I wanted a well full, then I wanted a river full, then I wanted an ocean full. The longer I thought about it, the thirstier I got. And I kept saying, I'm really not thirsty. Lie. You can't reason with it. You'll say, I'm not thirsty, and thirst will say, your body will say, oh yes, you are thirsty. And your tongue will begin to get parched and your mouth dry. I've been preaching before. It'd be dull and dry, and I was just a young fella, didn't know much, and I'd start getting cotton mouth. You get that, start blowing them spit bubbles, one thing and another. That old white juice starts running out the corners of your mouth, and you just look terrible. And you say, I just wish I had a drink of water. And you're standing there trying to preach and concentrate on what you're preaching, and you can't! Because you're so thirsty. And I'm going to tell you something. While we're not getting nothing done for God today, we're concentrating on everything and thinking about everything because we're so thirsty for Him.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. And there's no forgetting it either. You're not going to forget the thirst. You can't say, well, I'll just forget about being thirsty. Give yourself 3 seconds and it'll come back. And there is no overcoming it. You cannot overcome thirst. The only way that you can overcome thirst is either for it to be satisfied with water or to die. That's only two ways. There's no overcoming. thirst. It must be satisfied. David said, "Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee."
Amen.
In other words, he's saying, "I can't overcome this thirst. The only way I'm going to find satisfaction, Lord, is you come and quench the thirsting like the Miss Sandy said, quench the thirsting of my soul." Oh, yes. What about that song? What about that song? He cried for water. They gave him vinegar and gall.
Amen.
And yet he that cried for water brought us water.
Yes.
Water that we'll never thirst again.
Yes.
Woo! Amen. Living water springing up in our soul like an artesian well springing up. Amen. That's right. I want to say the whole man must yield to its power. Get thirsty enough, your legs will get lap-legged and you can't walk. Your eyes will get dim and you can't see. Your body will get weak and you can't move, and you soon you'll keel out. Your brain will grow numb if it's not already. And the whole man will just simply yield to the power. Even thus it is with divine desire, which the grace of God creates in regenerate man. Only God Himself can satisfy the craving of a soul really aroused by the Spirit of God. I remember when I was that way. When I was in Bible college, I remember it very well. Oh, how God began to work in my heart through the Holy Spirit. And all I wanted was Him. Can I tell you all this? I'm going to tell on myself. When I left Bible college and we went to Arizona, we'd been out there a while. And I don't know, Miss Hall and I was talking about something. And if she'll think back, she'll verify what I'm saying. We was talking about something. And I said, "Well, honey," I said, you know good and well that I'm not going to neglect you. I said, you know good and well that I'm going to be with you because you stir up my heart and stir up my soul, and I'm not going to neglect you." She said, "I want to tell you something. I don't mean to be mean," but she said, "for 3 years you did."
Amen.
And I thought, Lord, for 3 years, when I put my face in those books, I did neglect my wife.
Amen.
I did neglect my wife. There's no question about it. Shame, God have mercy on me.
Amen.
And I made up my mind right then I'd never neglect her again. By the grace of God, I don't intend to.
Amen.
That's right. And I want her to have a thirst for me. Amen.
Amen.
She still thinks I'm good looking whether anybody else does or not. And that nobody else matters in this ball game. That's our ball game. Now, number two, pantings of the soul. Number two, praises from the lips.
Amen.
Spikenard is very comforting and strengthening nature to the stomach. It exhilarates the spirits, and the inner man must be stirred, aroused, and awakened before we can praise God.
Amen.
That's right. That's why we don't have much praise going on in church.
Amen.
We're not in the Bible enough for the Holy Ghost, come on now, don't leave me, to stir us up and arouse us, to arouse our spirit within us, to bring us to a place of praise and worship in the house of God.
Amen.
I'm going to have to hurry. I can see some of you done left me. How do we praise Him? We ought to praise Him in song.
Amen.
Psalm 149:1 said, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song."
Amen.
Praise, a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the saints.
Amen.
We sang that song, "Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer." But I wonder if we really come to the house of God and praise Him.
Amen.
And praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer.
Amen.
I want to read what John Gill said many years ago. John Gill made this statement. He said that congregational singing in the Holy Ghost is earthly close to a glorified state. And I believe that. Oh, when we come to church, hey, If we really want to worship Him, it's got to be pantings of the soul.
Amen.
But there, God, hey, He inhabits the praises of His people.
That's right.
And although praise is not worship, there'll never be worship without praise. There'll never be. It cannot be. He inhabits the praises of His people. Y'all look like wounded guineas or something sitting out there. How many of us really come to church and praise Him in song in the house of God? I've noticed we're doing better. It was when I first come here. Oh, when I first come here, it's bad. There wasn't very many of us. Well, you ever been in church when there been about 8 or 10 people? And everybody's afraid everybody else will hear them. Boy, I'm telling you. They're afraid to sing out. But I'm glad there's enough here that we're not afraid to sing out.
Amen.
Not worried about your neighbor hearing you. Just come and sing.
Amen.
Now try to stay in tune and on key. I mean, I'm not just talking about getting up here around carrying on howling like a dog or something.
Amen.
Well, we're not doing that, no. But singing. Singing in the congregation of the Lord. Then we ought to praise Him in the sanctuary. Psalm 150 verse 1 said, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him where?
Yeah.
In the sanctuary. Somebody said, well, we ought to be holy and reverent when we come to the house of God. My Bible tells me that we ought to praise Him in the house of God.
Yeah.
This is His house. Why not praise Him?
Yeah.
You know what? When I used to go home for Thanksgiving and Christmas and one thing and another, Mama put that big bird or that big ham out on the table. I'd always look over at Daddy and Mama and I'd say, Mama and Daddy, I want to thank y'all for this big bird on the table. I said, praise God. I'm telling you, Mama. I said, that's good. That's delicious. But what were you doing, preacher? I was praising my Mama and Daddy for what they'd put on the table for me, thanking them for what they had done for me. And we lived in a little 4-room house. Wasn't no bigger than a matchbox. Praise God, I'm telling you. Buster Brown couldn't even live in there, and he lived in a shoe. That's right. And I'm telling you, friend, I'd praise my mom and daddy, but thanking them, telling them how much I appreciated that turkey or that ham that they put on the table. Amen. And we need to come to church and praise Him in the sanctuary. We need to praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him, the Bible says, according to His excellent greatness in Psalm 150 and verse number 2. And so we're going to have to paying after Him a little bit. We're going to have to praise Him a little bit. And then I'm closing right here. So I said, I wish He would close. I'm going to. We ought to praise Him from prayers from the heart.
Amen.
Amen. There's not going to be much praising going on unless we're praying from the heart.
Amen.
And it's got to be from the heart. Revelation chapter number 8, verse 1 through 6. The Bible said, and when He had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Somebody said, all the women kept quiet. Amen. I think all the preachers might have shut up themselves.
Amen.
Verse 2 number said, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God. To them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given to him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now I want to tell you something. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I want you to get this. If you don't get nothing else, I've said all night long. But when you bow down to pray, I don't care if it's out in the field of the stump or if it's here on this altar in the church house or at your pew or wherever you're at. According to that verse of Scripture, where you're praying is on the golden altar in heaven.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God's laying up our prayers on a golden altar. An altar of deity, that's right. Amen. And purity, that's right. An altar of holiness, that's right. That's where our prayers are at tonight. Why shouldn't we pray? If God's laying those prayers, read it for yourself. God's laying those prayers upon that golden altar in heaven itself. Amen. And then he says, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. In other words, the angel took the prayers and the incense and said, here it comes, God.
Amen.
You realize God hears every prayer you pray.
Amen.
God answers every prayer you pray.
Right.
And friend, I'm going to tell you what, we're not going to worship Him much without praying.
Amen.
We ought to learn to pray.
Amen.
When those When that incense and those prayers went up off out of that angel's hand, the angel took the censer and filled it with fire that was on that altar. Now get a hold of this now. Our prayers that was on that altar started a fire burning. You said, "Preacher, I don't see that." Read the Bible. I see it. Our prayer life ought to start a fire burning somewhere. In here or in the church or somewhere. Amen. That's right. And that angel took that censer and filled it with the fire that's on the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Well, I'll tell you, when those prayers hit the earth, they come off the golden altar, up to the throne, down to the angel, and the angel took that fire and threw it on the earth. The Bible said there was this, and a great earthquake. Them old boys prayed in Acts 4. The Bible said the earth was shaken where they were at. How many earth-shaking prayer meetings have we had? How many prayer meetings have we had that's really shook some people? I'm talking about how many prayer meetings have we really had that we can go to a sinner's house that we know and knock on the door, and when we get there, they can't say, "I was just thinking about you. Boy, I'm glad you're here. Have you come to tell me about Jesus? Have you come to tell me about Christ? Amen. Have you come to tell me the way of salvation?"
Amen.
I'm telling you, we ought to pray in such a way that it'll shake the hearts of sinners that we know.
Amen.
Shake our family and our loved ones that are lost and dying and going to hell without God.
Amen.
Oh, yes. And shake this earth that we're living in.
Amen.
I don't give a flip about none of this political junk. I'm so sick of all of it. I'll be glad when Tuesday's over. They think they've all of them think they got the answer. They'll spend billions of dollars to prove to you they're the ones that's got the answer. Now, don't tell me that somebody spend that kind of money to get a job making $200,000 a year. Or $75,000 a year, $125,000. They ain't doing that. They want to look at me, who am I? And I'm going to make things happen in America. I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. Nothing. I'm going to tell you what Jesus is going to do. Son, He's coming with righteous judgment. Just like that judge out there that said, "That's all right. It's all right for illegals to vote in Arizona." When one person can pass and override the entire Senate and Congress of the United States of America and the law of a state, we're in trouble. And somebody said, "Where are you going?" I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. Those judges out in Arizona that ruled that it was unconstitutional for the policy, "Don't ask, don't tell." In other words, you can have gays openly in the military. I don't want in a foxhole with one of them. I ain't getting in a foxhole with one of them. I don't want my grandkids in a foxhole with one of them. You nod your heads up and down. They can't see you. But I'm telling you, when one woman or one man or three men or three men or two women, whatever, can say it's all, that the voters the people's will not be carried out by the majority, but us three is going to tell you, 5, 10, 15 million people in this state, what you can do and what you can't do. And I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes, friend, He's going to judge with a righteous judgment. You better believe that He is. And you hear me well. When those prayers were cast into the earth. I wonder why they were cast into the earth. You reckon God's trying to tell us something? That we need to be praying for this lost world that we're living in and the hellish society that America's living in today? This bunch of idiots is trying to lead our nations around the world, not only America, but all around the world. I'm telling you, we've got some real jug heads, boy. No wonder the prayers of the saints were cast into the earth. God may be saying, "Hey, maybe we're praying for some wrong thing." Amen.
Amen.
I know He said pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for leaders, all that are in authority. I wonder if we're doing that. And I'm going to tell you what praying will really do, boy. It'll get your heart into exercise with God. And I'm telling you, if you ever get praying in the Holy Ghost, you'll lose yourself in the love of God. And when you're done, you'll wonder, where on earth have I been for these last 15, 20 minutes? I'm going to tell you where. You've been in the presence of Him.
Amen.
Somebody said, no, I don't believe that. Well, you need to try it before you talk about it.
Amen.
I know when I prayed and been there, and I know when I prayed and ain't been there.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, when you get in His presence, praying, worship will break out one way or the other.
Yep.
It won't be long until you'll be blessing His name and adoring Him and thanking Him for what He's done for you in your life.
Amen.
Boy, I'm going to tell you, who was it? Brother Steve this morning. What was it you said, Brother Steve, about if we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell? We got what we deserve, we'd be in hell, he said. Now, you get this. He said, but if we just get, we're saved, said, if we just get a little bit, that's a whole lot, because we could be in hell. If God just give us a little bit, just a little bit, be better than what we had. Because we was going to hell, friend.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if He's kept your soul out of hell tonight, it's time that we acted like saints of God.
Amen.
Now, somebody said, well, you preached too long tonight. Well, you take your opinion. I'll take mine. We'll both go up here and buy a cup of coffee with it and add it with a dollar a quarter and buy us a cup of coffee and drink it and talk it over. But I'm telling you, it is time that we learn how to worship.
Amen.
That we worship God. I just come to church and sat and stared and waited for the preacher to get something stirred up. But to come with the idea in our heart that He loves us, we love Him, and we're going to show Him. We're not just going to give Him lip service.
Amen.
We're going to show Him that we love Him. Let's stand together.